are back for our national hour on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. For the next hour, we will go in in-depth analysis on the Green Bay Packers 29-22 victory over the Detroit Lions.
Poor fake punt decision.
We don't have any NHL games today. What else are we going to do?
Good question.
We're going to rank Thanksgiving foods.
Oh, yeah. It's like, hey, Kipper, I got an idea. What are you most thankful for in the NHL this year?
I'm thankful for you guys.
Wait, what's the storyline you're most thankful
for? I think cranberries way overrated.
Oh, yeah.
See, I'm the complete opposite. It's a deal breaker if you don't have it. You got to have it.
Really?
Yeah.
I would never touch it.
Way too sweet. I'd rather pile on the gravy.
Yeah, but to me, it's that extra kick of sweet you need with the meat because it's, you know, a drier meat in general.
Happy Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, of course, to our friends south of the border. And we know that wherever you're listening, all over this great world, however you pick us up, and now YouTube as well.
We're thankful for all of you.
We have so many good friends on YouTube that weren't very happy.
What up, Susie Q?
Yeah, and what are the other ones?
Jeremiah.
Oh, yeah, the sports beard. He's the one. Yeah,
yeah, he's our dude.
Alaska.
Yeah, but he found us without it. He was already, he's all over.
Anchorage represent.
Yeah.
He is. We've got Luke Gastic will join us in a few minutes. But before that, let's just get your thoughts on, again, what we saw last night from the Edmonton Oilers. This is a story that just keeps growing legs. Today in the Toronto Star, I kind of did a piece on the Edmonton Oilers and how it's a reminder to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I do write an article for the Toronto Star.
Again, right? Not first word important there.
The Toronto.
The Edmonton Star.
But I got a few notes today from, I think, people in Alberta that kind of mentioned, like, what's this got to do with the Leafs? And I'm like, well, I'm just kind of comparing the thought that high expectations from two teams, and basically I wrote 700 words of one basic message. You can't take making the playoffs for granted.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's not that easy in a 32-team league.
And say what you will about the Toronto Maple Leafs and their ability to choke in the first round, or is it the second round
really
now?
Really good at doing that.
Excellent at that.
But hey, these guys bring the numbers for 82 games to get you there. And it's not easy.
It's funny you wrote that article today because I woke up sort of thinking, I watched that whole game last night where they're dreadful for most of it. They get back into it a little bit. It was a fake comeback. But, like, can you imagine this was happening here?
Well,
because
there
are teams that have the exact, like, very, like you said, very similar expectations.
Offensively.
Very similar teams. We've talked it a million times how similar the teams are. Like, the world would be burning if they had this here. Like, this would be the biggest story.
And it's that way, I think, in Edmonton.
For sure, but I guess Toronto's just a different thing in terms of the national attention, and we know all about
it's
that, and people get mad at us. But, like, it's crazy how much this
has happened. Well, the one guy that's experienced playing as an Edmonton Oiler that we can't speak of is our next guest. So let's bring him in. Luke Gastic. Luke, how are you, pal? Thanks for joining us. I know you're covering the Oilers, you're watching it like the rest of the hockey world, and it was not pretty. I guess the first 22, 23 minutes, they were down, 4-1 at a point where you thought maybe the game should be just getting started.
Yeah, it's frustrating, right? I'm heavily invested in this team, not just covering them, but I also played there for 3 years, right? And I, even with some of the guys that are playing there now, still know a lot of people there. And covering them now, it's frustrating as ever. I mean, even a game like last night, you settle into the chairs at the studio and, you know, I'm expecting a good start. And it's just the same old story again. It's watching the same record spin around and the same story unfold. Game after game, it's been tough covering them because it's really tough to find any positives to flip on this. And all in all, it's starting to spiral out of control for these guys.
Gaz, now I've been going up against these two in studio here on the Oilers, and you know, starting to lose a little faith here myself. But you know, I watched the game two games ago. You know, they have some bad luck. You know, Broberg steps on a stick and they hit Hyman on a breakout. Pucks end up in their net. Last night, Carolina's first goal kind of banks off a couple of guys and pinballs in. And, you know, it got progressively worse from there. But is there any chance this has just been a really unbelievable bad run of luck? Is there any chance, or is this something just fundamentally flawed here?
No, there is a chance, and you're right. Like, the bounces really haven't gone their way. Everything that can pretty much go wrong has. But in saying that, I think the thing I was told over my career more than anything was control what you can control. And I never really even understood that at the time. I would just listen to assistant coaches and tell them to beat it when they said that. And now I'm seeing, you know, the things you can control out there are your effort and your urgency. And the lack of urgency in their defensive game is so stunning, and it's just so tough to watch every time. I mean, playing defense is a choice, and it's hard work.
For
like,
sure.
Not just the position defense, but, like, playing defensive is hard work, and it's not fun. It's fun to go rip around in the offensive zone and score goals and cycle the puck and mix it up down there, but it's tough to play defensive hockey. And they're looking like they're openly making the choice that they do not want any part of playing defensive hockey right now. And I think that's the most frustrating part for me is, yeah, the bounces are going bad, but there's still some things they can't control. I did a little breakdown in between periods of the first and second. They snapped back two draws in the D zone. Clean wins. And, you know, as a player, you win a draw in the D zone, you have a set plan, whether it's reverse, D to D, you name it. The defenseman didn't even know what to do. They just kind of, they both went for it. And then one went in CeCe's feet. Like, mm-hmm. They're not even on the same page back there. So it just seems like there's just a disconnect, and a lot of things that they can control are self-inflicted mistakes here.
Look, for you, who kind of is the face of that lack of energy? And I don't want to pick on Evan Bouchard here, but I'm watching, I think, the game-winning goal, Studland in Florida. And
yeah, circling.
It just, I just don't understand, you know, basic fundamentals, stopping and starting. It just isn't there. I mean, is he kind of the poster boy for all of this, or is it by committee here?
Yeah, I hate to look at it as one person, but he's certainly one of them. I would categorize it as their defense corps as a whole has to be much more urgent in coming back for pucks. And I mean, the very first thing we're told as players in day one of every training camp you've been to since you were 10 years old is, like, go back to the house and stop and then sort it out. If you don't know what to do when you go back in there, put the brakes on, take a look around, see what you have, and kind of sort from there. And it's these, like, circles back into the zone kind of coasting where it's just guys pointing at each other and not talking and just breakdown after breakdown. But for Evan, I know he's a bit of the whipping boy, but, man, it just looks like when he makes mistakes, they are catastrophic. Like, he doesn't make a ton. He really doesn't. Like, if you watch his game, he doesn't make too many blunders. He makes up for a lot of them with how good he is offensively. He's got a point per game, man. Like, it's the mistakes he does make end up being catastrophic for their team and usually ends up in the back of their net. The goal against Florida, that was the one I think you were mentioning.
Yeah, it was Stenland. Kevin Stenland goal.
I mean, he can avoid all that by just putting on the brakes. And instead, he goes for a loop. I don't know where he's going. I don't know if he's cheating for offense, thinking the puck's going out that way. But it's just simple decision-making of just putting on the brakes and going from there.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by the big mistake guys. You know, like whether here in Toronto it was Jake Gardiner for a while, the guys who are really good players but just kind of make these, like, oh-my-God errors at times. It seems to be a whole genre of player. Gaz, talking a little bit about the coaching here in the show, they obviously get rid of Woodcroft, they bring in Chris Knobloch. Could you give the guys some slack with a new coach that maybe they're trying new things or things are different? What are your thoughts on the decision to go away from Woodcroft and kind of how the change in coaching staff has affected what has been a pretty rocky last, well, transition, frankly, the last five games that Knobloch's been there?
Yeah, switching coaches mid-year is tough for anyone. I went through a couple of those. You know, I played for Jay. I had him as an assistant coach in Edmonton. He ran the forwards, and he's a good man. He was very detailed, extremely meticulous in his game and his teaching and the way he goes about things. I wasn't a fan of it at the time, to be honest. You could see the things that the guys were doing and a lot of these bad habits that were creeping into their game. And for the longest time, I was on the side of, I really don't think changing the coaches is going to be the right thing to do. But sometimes that can really spark your team and really turn things around, kind of just put a jolt in the room and change morale a little bit. It can get, I don't want to say stale, but listening to the same things over and over again from the same guy can get stale after a while. So at the same time, I'm thinking, you know, maybe this is a good thing. But Knobs has come in and you're seeing the exact same things happen now. So you would expect, you know, a little bit of time for system stuff to come in. And I really haven't seen that many changes, you know, in stuff like that, in X's and O's. If anything, you're watching a lot of the same mistakes and the same habits, which is the most frustrating thing, not just for me, but for fans and viewers of the team, of watching this Oilers team, is it's the same stuff that was happening with Woody is happening with Chris. And I like the hire, to be honest. I don't know a lot about Chris. I at first wanted them to get maybe more of an older, harder coach in there on them, but they've had that too. So it's the group. And I was the player. I was those guys. So I'm one of those guys, and I'm usually taking their side. But you're kind of seeing now that it's on the boys here. It's on the players to turn this thing around. I don't think anyone's going to do it for them.
We're talking to former National Hockey Leaguer, Sportsnet hockey analyst Luke Gazdick. Luke, the body language, for me, quite concerning. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And yes, the focus is as early as tomorrow night when they go into Washington before going back home against Anaheim and Vegas. But when does the conversations are less about preparing for the next game or two and they turn like long term, and what's going to happen to Leon come this summer when he's eligible to sign a new extension, or what happens in 2 years from now with Connor? How do you see that scenario kind of playing out when it comes to concerns for Edmonton fans?
I hear them loud and clear. And for a guy like Leon, especially with the body language, I see the biggest difference between last year and this year is they would go down in games last year, 2, 3, heck 4 goals, and you wouldn't even think twice. They could rip a comeback. It really didn't matter. And now, as soon as you see them go down in games, it's shoulder shrugs, it's body language, it's showing visible, clear frustration of, oh no, like this is happening again. And it's kind of like that poor me, this is happening again. Our goalie let in a couple. This is the way I'm going to act now. And that's one of the most frustrating signs to watch for me. But I know those guys both want to be there, and they don't want to go anywhere. They want to make it work in Edmonton. I know how much they both love being there and love playing there, and how much they both want to make it work. I'm trying not to look too far ahead. Those are two pieces. I heard Mike Feuda on here earlier, and I kind of echo his sentiment in those are two absolutely untouchables, obviously Connor, but I'm starting to hear the Leon discourse now about maybe it's time to be looking at moving him. And for me, I'm completely against that. I think you have to try about everything else in your repertoire before you look ahead to moving one of those guys. Because I look at a situation like here in Toronto with Willie, mm-hmm. and about him possibly moving on. It's tough to get really, really good players in this league to actually want to play in a Canadian city like Toronto, like Edmonton. You can see how much harder it is with the state taxes and guys not wanting to deal with media. It's rare that you have players that really want to be there. And I know that those two guys really want to be there. And I would try not to look too far ahead to the contract extensions and kind of take this 1 week at a time and see if they can maybe add a piece or a goaltender or whatever it is to try to salvage what they have here this year.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you there. It's impossible to even contemplate what a return would look like on a guy like Drysdale. We were talking before the show about like the trade value of a contract, and his is, I mean, he's 28, he's 6'2", 210, he's won a Hart Trophy, right? He's an extremely rare, valuable talent that makes very little money. So got to keep him. The thought about the goaltending, Stu Skinner gets back in the net. To me, I didn't love the fourth goal he gives up, you know, but all goalies give up some weak ones. You know, how disheartening, how much of their lack of success so far is on the crease kind of letting them down? And do you think they have to go outside the team? Or is it a thing where the guys can just say, we know these guys have played better before, and you just kind of cross your fingers and wait it out?
Yeah, the way I look at it is, yeah, we talked about the bad bounces, and there's some goals where he's, both goalies, all three, put Jack in there too, have been absolutely hung out to dry. But when's the last time we looked at this Oilers team and or watched a game and post game we're going, wow, you know, player X or goalie X stole that game for us, right? Like as a former player, you just needed nights like that. Some nights where you just weren't going right, or things weren't clicking. You gave up some chances and your goalie bailed you out, and you came back after the game and you're like, man, we wouldn't have had a chance without, you know, Buddy and Ned. Call it Stu Skinner. And I'm trying to remember when the last time we said that about the Oilers. I mean, Skinner had 31 saves versus the Islanders last Monday, but he wasn't fantastic, didn't have to do anything really spectacular. So for me, it's like they're not bailing him out in net, but sometimes if it gets through check one and through check two and then under a stick, under a seam, you need your goalie to come up with huge saves just every now and then to bail the boys out. And just, they haven't seen any of that. It's just been the same story and the same performance by whoever is in that net. I would truly, truly think that they're looking high and low to put someone in the crease that can make some of those stops. I really think that would send a huge boost of energy and jolt through the locker room to add somebody. I don't know who that is, but I'd expect them to try something just because Borny, like, it's, you need your goalie to steal you some nights. And right now it's just not happening.
We know what the stats say as far as the American Thanksgiving target or deadline. Where are you? They have any chance at all under the current team, the roster, or you need a major change to still give them a shot? And if that change is coming, when?
Yeah, I honestly think they need a change. They need something just to at least,
like, now.
Yeah, at least as a message from management to the players saying, hey, we're not giving up on this season. Because kind of looks like that right now with you. The worst thing they could do is just status quo, just stand still right now. Like, make a move. And I think that would go a long way in management showing the team and the boys, like, hey, you guys might think we're giving up on this thing, but we're not. Like, here's some help. And I know they're up against the cap, but that's your job. Like, good GMs get things done. And I don't care if you're up against the cap, like, figure it out. And I think something has to be made here. I read a tweet. I think the Oilers, after 18 games, have a worse record than Eakins, my second year in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. That led to drafting Connor. And I understand the expectations were different. But I remember going to the rink at those times and just how miserable it was, and walking on eggshells, and just every day you were waiting for something to happen. And I know expectations were a lot different for this team, but I truly think that they have to make a move in here and shake things up to at least send a message to the team that that they're trying to salvage this as well.
Hey, Luke, great stuff, man. Keep up the great work on Sportsnet.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate Fantastic. It. Yeah, that's some good insight on this Oilers team.
Like, There's no Superman coming.
But I like
Gretzky's not walking through that door.
Love what he said about just getting someone else. Mm-hmm. Like another goalie. I know it's Pickard or whatever you call him up, but like just it doesn't have to be Saros. It just has to be someone.
But you got to make sure it's the right thing, the right one. You're going to have to give something up. You just can't you can't be so desperate that you're throwing up against the wall to see if it sticks here.
Well, but you're not that desperate at this point.
But imagine
you are desperate, but you got to act like a professional.
Well, Jack
Sammy.
Campbell had a shutout in Bakersfield, so maybe he's coming back.
You know, even if they were Ken Holland, we believe isn't coming back. No. There's still a responsibility. As bad as it is, there's still a responsibility to not actually make it even worse.
Well, and how about if you go out and do something big? You go spend assets to get someone, you're 5-12.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you spend assets and all of a sudden that brings you to a worse draft pick and miles from the playoffs still. Like, it could be a real bad luck if you get aggressive this far out.
So, did you want to do the American Thanksgiving thing here? Because we just mentioned it with Luke.
Do you have the standings
in front of you?
I wouldn't write it in stone right now for Edmonton Oilers to not get on a run. But, yeah, you will because it's easy to because you just don't see them turning around and getting
you watch
640,
these games,
650 production. Like, nobody snaps their fingers and then turns around and wins 7 out of 10 games. Not playing this way.
No. My guy who runs HockeyViz.com, Micah Blake McCurdy, he's got some, like, you know, playoff odds based on the roster you have, past successes, you know, scheduled to come, whatever. He has the Oilers at a 39% chance of making playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Which seems high, but that's kind of how I feel about it.
39.
You know, I'm digging in against you guys, not because I think they're over 50, but because I think they're better than 5.
Yeah.
You know, like
I don't say this to be sexy. It's not like I don't watch the Oilers. I watch them play, and they're just bad a lot of nights.
But
man,
you know what, Sam? We just did this.
Can't get a save. It's like
we did this with Tampa. Is Tampa done? And then we went through the roster, and they have all these good players: McDavid, Dreisaitl, RNH, Hyman, Kane. You know, Ekholm, Nurse. They have players, guys.
Nugent Hopkins has got like one goal in like 15 games.
But we have a sample of 10 years where he's a really good player.
Okay, but he's not a 100-point guy. That was a career year, much like Jonathan Huberdeau had in Florida.
Sure. Is he a 70-point guy?
He's not this bad.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not this bad. But, you know, I'm a little tired of hearing the bad luck stuff to me. It's not like, hey, everybody, we had some bad luck, but we're going to come back and be a lot better now. It was just bad luck. No, you don't get to use bad luck.
You don't get to bad luck a 300 winning percentage.
No. But if you're playing like a 1-3 start with a couple bad ones, not 5-12.
And the domino effect is that Leon Draisaitl this summer, who's eligible to sign July 1st, goes, no, I like it here, to Luke's point. I really like it here, and I'd like to win here. But it ain't happening. And Winning a cup. It's not happening. Not happening.
Okay. Okay, right? Hey, listen.
I got to move on. I tried it here, but
let's see how this season starts next year.
If you don't think they're going to win a cup, and you think he thinks... that this summer, why would I sign when in 12 months I can go somewhere else? I've given these guys ample opportunity to help me and Connor win, and it's just not happening, and I want to go try to win a cup somewhere else. That's the domino effect of missing the playoffs this year.
Your point being that the pressure is on now to go get UC Saros.
Yeah, the pressure now is the domino effect of missing the playoffs and the repercussions. And it starts with Leon.
What about
this
a good
summer.
Push where they get close to the playoffs and they win at a 600 clip the rest of the way and he goes, okay, next year if we just play like that, we're all right.
Listen, there's always a chance.
Yeah.
But I think he's been around long enough to know if that's really true or is that fool's gold. Mm-hmm. It's been fool's gold on a lot of teams when the pressure's off.
Yes, it has. I agree. Tough to tell. But this is an Oilers team that's won a lot of playoff rounds recently. You know, so he may see that it's not that different and may believe in it more. I get your point, Kip, that the stakes are high.
He's come this far, and then you miss the playoffs in the year that people expected you to win a Stanley Cup. It's scary to say I'm going to commit the next 8 years. Okay? Those guys...
At the very least, you got a Matthews contract.
Those guys that are going to the Hall of Fame, okay, their biggest fear, their foe, fear of missing out.
FOMO?
FOMO.
Yeah.
Is it FOCO if it's the Stanley Cup? I shouldn't say that on air. That was really close to not right.
Is not winning the Stanley Cup, okay? That is a hole in your heart that no amount of money will fill.
Yes, no question. And especially a guy of Connor's level.
Oh, yeah.
Because guys of Connor's level always get one. Like, he is one of the greatest hockey players to ever put skates on. Like, it's just, there's no way around that. And he just needs a cup. And it's like... Yeah,
but does he believe...
What year is this?
Does he believe staying in Edmonton the rest of his career, he will get that?
I don't know.
Or has he lost a little faith?
Well, I'm sure like a lot of people on a 5-12 team, he's lost some faith. Here's the hard part with winning a Stanley Cup today in the salary cap era is if you step back at the start of the season and say, I'm going to go to the team with the best chance of winning a Stanley Cup, it's impossibly hard. There's like 8 teams who have just as good a chance in any given year. And going into this year, the Oilers were in that group. And they aren't. They aren't a cup contender at this point. It's obvious. It's clear. But it's really hard for one of those guys to say, I want to get moved to a cup contender. Who is it? And then them get it right.
Yeah, I'm not sure
about that.
I'm not sure.
Well, so people chase it.
You know, I get the reason why people had Edmonton
as a cup favorite
was because of 150 points from Connor and 50 and 60
but that's
goals
who
from
he is.
Them.
That's a real guy.
But
that's
don't
not
tell
Huberto's 115.
Don't tell me that you could actually put them up against other teams when
you
weren't sure about
ago.
Jack, not with Jack Campbell and Skinner and that defense. There's as many questions that as the Leafs on that blue line. They weren't there, quite there. They were hopeful of people. There were people hoping that Connor is good enough to make up for all those mistakes.
A lot of Sportsnet employees.
Had
them in that group of teams.
But the truth is, they weren't good enough on the blue line, and their goaltending wasn't good enough.
I think they've gotten, you know, going into a year, you have a lot of questions about certain guys. They've gotten all wrong, disappointing answers. Bouchard has not taken the step to be the guy they want. Broberg has not. You know, it hasn't gone great. A lot of people, they've been going, what are we going to do with Connor Brown? This could be found money. They haven't got it. They just haven't got the answers they wanted. Skinner, Campbell, they haven't. They got bad answers on everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think every year you go into the season with some question marks on a lot of players.
And the questions might have been answered by now.
I think we have a certain number of them.
Right?
So looking at the standings for the Western Conference, it's the same. So... We're American Thanksgiving. We've arrived at the oh,
a board. God,
there
we're
a pro
around here.
You look at that. Like, I guess they're 10 points back of the Kraken and the Blues.
And this has been my argument too to you guys. Who do you believe in? Blues, Kraken, Ducks, Coyotes, Flames, Preds, Wild. Like, it's not
a
murderer's row of talent.
Bit of a dog's breakfast.
Everybody's got to lose. When one of them's losing, one of them's winning.
That's a good point. That's why you
they're
can't
not
dig the
all
going to
stink at the same time. That's what we've learned in the NHL.
It's a lot of teams. It's not a lot of points. It's a lot of teams.
It's a lot of teams, and they play every night. And there's some nights that they play against each other, and there's some nights the two of them leave with 3 points.
I know.
11 points.
That's the issue
it's
here.
Not many at all.
That's why you can go year after year now to American Thanksgiving, and if you're at the bottom and you got to climb up 3 or 4 teams, it's really hard.
Yeah.
I actually do like the Blues. I think the Blues have
Blues
enough.
Have
they
some
have enough like,
they got some guys.
Playoff
D,
pedigree
for sure.
Guys. They can get in.
I'll switch tone on them. I think I like the Blues too.
Squids, I mean, I've watched them a few times. They're not exactly.
They grind, though.
They do. They play hard. But they, just,
they got Dean goaltending. Yeah. That's always going to get you, you know,
just
500.
Incredibly average.
Look at,
yes,
look
that's
at,
exactly right.
Look at Washington now, okay?
What the hell
Washington's
is going on
there? Second in the Metro.
10-4-2.
And they have nobody lighting it up.
But they don't. No one scores on them. They're amazing.
Thank you.
Is baffling.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Goals against. Yeah.
They're
defense.
Third in the league in goals against. I think there's only two teams ahead of them, Boston and New York.
And they're getting good goaltending.
Yeah.
Sandin, Carlson, Edmondson, Jensen, Alexiev, Van Riemsdyk is their decor.
Okay, and now tell me the scoring. Ovi's on pace for 25.
He's got five goals.
Oshie just scored his first goal the other day.
Wow.
Like,
where is he? 16. He's a 1-1 for two.
Yes.
He usually has that in a period.
And yet, they've won five in a row because they can play defense. They're structured. And they're getting good goaltending. I think they've got their
wheels are coming off this team.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. But for now, at least they show how you can have success.
Mm-hmm.
So defense.
You think that's one spot that's up for grabbing the East End for them?
Their third goalie's got a couple of wins. Their third goalie. I don't know what his name is. Shepherd, maybe.
I don't know. Is he available for the Oilers? Go grab yourself a Shepherd.
That's how you have success.
Yeah. Keep the puck in your net.
I think it's time.
For game time?
Yes.
Okay. It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Play responsibly. So, sorry, Oilers fans, but I'm going back to the Oilers here.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at, they have the point totals for NHL futures. So you can, like, it's over and under for how many points guys, the teams will end up with. And they have the Oilers set at 93.5 points as their total. And the...
Does that make it?
It's
got
the,
it.
The
it's real close.
The under is now a... It's a pretty big favorite. I would say it's a... where am I at here? Sorry. Minus 150 favorite for them to be under now, plus 120 for them to be over that number. So it's a favorite. So they're starting to think here.
The books have shifted in a week.
It's shifted. Like,
they had them in the playoffs a week ago.
Yeah.
And it's really starting to shift.
Wow, a couple of losses.
I thought that Carolina one was just so telling to me. It's like, we dubbed it their biggest game of the season. They went down.
Did you guys see, Sam showed it on our telecast last night, where, like, okay, we saw Darnell Nurse take one off the beak.
That was brutal. Yeah,
brutal.
And he's just got brutal. The double stuffed nose. And
how tough are these guys?
Right?
I'd be crying. It's like, he's out there, his blood.
Anyways, you know, I get it. It's just a snowball coming right
when
at
things
you.
Things are going wrong, man.
And then Skinner's like trying to stop.
Oh my God!
Blows a wheel.
And he's like, and I think I saw him during the game, like fall over on a guy coming down the wing. And it's like,
you know what it is?
This is like a script. It's like you wrote a Hollywood script on what could go wrong.
To me, it's like when you're having a bad day and somehow that's the day your pocket catches on a knob in your kitchen or something.
Yeah, it's just like bad.
Everything's going wrong.
But
it's really.
What about the clip of
calamity.
Connor that I sent to you guys? With the zoom in on him sitting on the bench. Did you see that clip?
Oh, yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's the most competitive non-Nathan McKinnon person.
Listen, the fear is, like, it doesn't get necessarily better, and he's got to go play 60 more games.
Yeah.
Well,
and he
put them in bubble wrap. If, you know, if in 20 games they're, you know, they continue this sort of pace, I don't know what you do. Like, I don't know what you do.
You just play. You just be a pro. That's what you do.
By the way, still the overwhelming favorite to win the Hart, Connor McDavid, according to Bet365.
God, where is he in scoring on his own team here? Let's look this up.
That's crazy to me.
That is.
He would still be the favorite. Like, Pasternak's now creeped up there. He's plus 600. Matthews plus 700. Quinn Hughes is up there. Elias Pettersson. Kucherov maybe at 14-1, a guy that's having a great start to the year. But the number one and two favorites are Connor McDavid and Jack Hughes still.
McDavid's still fifth on his team in scoring. He's tied with Evander Kane. He's behind Hyman, Bouchard, and Draisaitl.
No. And the last quick one I wanted to bring up, that the Vezina Trophy, the odds have shifted pretty good there. Demko now the favorite. Plus 600.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jake Ottinger second. Shesterkin has gone way down. And Sorokin is
Do you have down. The odds? Is Norris odds available?
Yes,
has Makar caught?
He has not. Plus 160 for Quinn. Cale Makar is plus 220. So those are the two pretty big favorites.
Cale Makar, in his last eight matches, has 18 hockey points. He's a defenseman, I will remind you. He had a breakaway goal.
And the play he made to strip JT Miller.
A little...
All right, good read.
Let's pick up on Makar versus Quinn.
Let me just finish this off for you, Kipper. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Nice job, Sammy. Okay. Thanks, bud. And we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll pick up on that because it was a marquee matchup.
It was. Makar good game.
Versus Quinn last night, Colorado, Vancouver. That plus... Vasilevsky boys.
Oh, boy.
Did Tampa Bay do what they thought that they could do and tread water?
Yeah, they did better than that.
Get the Stone Cold music ready
and
for that.
And now they get their horse back. Can you do a turkey? More of that after the break. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Before break, we were talking about Vancouver and Colorado last night, which I thought was a pretty good game. And Vancouver looked every bit the part of a challenging opponent to Colorado going into the third period. And then, kind of dried
off a little bit.
Dried up a little bit on Vancouver.
That Colorado team has been through a couple of those big games. You know, they have a pretty good sense for how to find their way through.
All right. Listen, I mean, the hype is warranted on Quinn Hughes. I've just been, like many, incredibly impressed about where he's been able to take his game to another level, shooting the puck,
he's
skating.
Leading the league in scoring as of right now.
Phenomenal. But it was almost as if Cale Makar said last night, not so fast.
Yeah.
I honestly really hope that's his feeling, because it's like there's a lot of conversation when I've been leading it as, you know, of my Canucks.
Yes, huge Canucks guy.
That Quinn Hughes is the Norris guy, and he's unbelievable, one of the best guys. But Makar is still the best.
Yeah, you know, Makar, he is actually ahead of him in points per game. He missed a couple of games, but he's been the Norris guy before. I mean, they both play a lot of minutes, there's no doubt, but Makar is still...
It just seems to me that Makar is a little bit more forceful. There's just a bit more
power
to his game than
Who
Quinn.
Was it? Someone called him Nate McKinnon, but on defense. Like, he does have that sort of that... Yeah, he's a big, strong... Or I don't say big, but he's a strong guy, so...
Yeah.
Maybe that's a separator for him. And by the way, that's not to take away from Quinn Hughes, who is... obviously having this unbelievable season, drives play, touches the puck more than anyone in the NHL. It's just, you know, for talk radio's sake, you got to pick one.
If I'm starting my team tomorrow and I get a pick between the two, go Makar.
Yeah, and I'm guessing a lot of people in Vancouver wouldn't.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then the goal last night, you were touching on it a little bit before break, but and it was Miller who he stole the puck from, and probably we saw a few more of those type of giveaways
last year
out of Miller than we have this year. But
he says no, by the way, Miller.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just, it's less noticeable because I'm surrounded by better players.
That's exactly
basically what he said.
Yeah. We're winning so people don't clip those as much.
I'm not sure he's wrong.
Yeah, he might be right.
Like, every mistake isn't magnified.
Tough spot to hang one out there, though.
I know.
I mean, give Makar some credit. It was a good read. Bing one hand out and he's gone.
Yeah.
So,
but we're seeing stuff out of JT Miller this year and his goal last night.
I mean, what a play.
Like, and the guys talked about it in the booth. Just like an all power forward goal inside to go outside and then get to the net and kick the puck up off your skate and go short side. Mm. Like, that was incredibly impressive.
It was. Do want the save, though. But yes, it is. It was a hell of a goal. So great, great game last night. All right. We're going to go to the...
Tell me where you want to go.
Well, I'll tell you exactly where I want to go. I want to go to the Greg Popovich.
Oh, you want
to
do that now?
From last night. I mean, Kip and I were talking about a little bit here at break. We need to bring it up.
This is not for me a basketball story, but more of a sports story, because it's...
Where are we as sports people?
What is going on?
If you didn't hear last night... The Clippers are playing the Spurs. Kawhi plays for the Clippers now. He used to play for the Spurs. Forced his way out. Eventually ended up in Toronto and won a championship.
Yeah, that was so fun.
All right. Yes. Everyone boos Kawhi when he comes back. Yes. Greg Popovich, outspoken guy, very opinionated. Did not like that last night. Literally grabbed the microphone during a live professional sporting event and told fans to stop booing.
We have the clip. You want to hear the clip?
Yeah. Excuse me for a second.
Pops on
the
mic.
Can we stop all the booing? Let these guys play. It's our whole class. It's not who we are. Knock off the booing.
What was the potential outcome of that?
What's next? Tip your waitress?
Like, honestly, there's no other professional sport where a microphone is like readily available like that, because it's courtside.
NFL ref could grab a linesman's.
But you're trying to beat the Los Angeles Clippers, and your fans are booing a man to try to get in his head.
But it's booing.
But
it's booing.
And booing's been around for 1,000 years.
It's the crux of, you boo people you don't like on the other team.
It's like a core sports thing is booing.
That's
booing.
All we got left.
That's it.
And as fans, that's it.
You know, we get stuck up in saying the greatest, the weirdest, the best. Like, that's a very big thing that we do, myself included, a lot. But that is truly one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in a sporting event. Like, I saw that clip come up on Twitter, and I was, like, aghast by it.
Great word.
Well, I was disgusted.
It reminds me of the reverse of, like, the Jeb Bush please clap moment, where it's just, like, you can't will people to feel a way or to behave a way.
This man is one of the most respected coaches in the history of the NBA. I think they won five championships.
And I think I respect him less. That gave him, that feeling that I can do this.
For sure.
Right?
Like, yeah.
It just
Darko
gave him,
is not doing that here with the Raptors. Like, that's not.
I actually respect him a little less today. Like, it changed my perspective on him. That's how much I hated it. I couldn't believe it. If I'm a sports at the game, I would boo him even more.
Well,
I would boo
it's
him.
Like, well, first of all, if I've paid $150 for this C200.
That guy forced his way out off our team.
Don't tell me how to act. I mean, am I throwing stuff? Am I using obscene gestures? Am I cursing?
I'll take it one farther. I think Popovich should have to apologize.
Agree.
That is not his place to tell people how to
agree. You're preaching.
Fan.
I keep going.
and I love Pop. I'm a total Pop guy. I think he was. It really bothered you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it really bugged me.
Well,
I'm a sports fan. Imagine whoever the coach, like Dwayne Casey, gets on the mic when Vince Carter is here. He's like, don't boo Vince Carter. That's our guy. Like, That's not who we are. Just who are you telling me who I am?
Do what Craig McTavish
did. I'm a scumbag. Don't tell me I'm not.
In Calgary, go get the mascot and
get
just
the hound
beat
out there.
The crap out of him, or pull his tongue out of his mouth.
That's still in
that was
the,
a wild sporting
that's
moment.
That's still in the upper echelons of great
just
sports clips.
That was awesome.
Hey, so he's, Harvey the Hound has to be in that spot in the first place, which is a little whatever.
Yes.
How about my junior hockey team? Quick story.
Yes.
The other team's mascot is behind our bench in playoffs. Our coach calls timeout 2-2 in playoffs, whatever.
Tight match.
Yeah, tight match. Tells our equipment trainer, manager a little something. Timeout. The guy starts banging the drum. Our equipment manager over the top. I mean, full on, climbs over, lawnmower on the mascot, assault charges. Like, we're during a timeout, and we're watching
isn't that the equivalent to me, like, punching my couch? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, you're punching the mascot.
No, he got the mascot head off.
Oh, okay. I thought he was pounding on the mask.
No, it was a ruthless act of violence.
Really?
That was like Connor
McMillan. So, hold on. Coach has got the whiteboard. He's going, eyes here. Ice here. Our trainer's beating the hell out of a mascot. Yeah, you got my attention, coach.
Oh, my God.
Good junior hockey days.
So
anyway,
we'd rather encourage than Greg to go back to the mic then and do that than beat up anybody.
Maybe the verbal way is a better way to go about it.
That's still crazy. Well, that's like, what's his name? Connor, what's the fighter that... The Irish guy?
McGregor?
Oh, Conor McGregor. The super famous guy I couldn't remember?
Who'd he punch?
He decked a mascot.
Yeah, oh. I did
like
see
recently.
That. Yeah.
Like he knocked him out, laid him out, and like the guy like was bad.
Yeah.
The guy wasn't moving.
I think it was a setup, but it wasn't supposed to.
He wasn't supposed to hit him like that.
It wasn't supposed to end like that.
But there's something about like a mascot injury that's just really hilarious because it's like they've got this stupid face on. Like the video of the Marlin who goes crashing into the boy and like he breaks his foot and they're trying to drag him off.
There's a whole Twitter account about like mascots observing moment of silence.
Oh, yeah,
where
it's
like you're trying to look solemn and you've got this painted dumb face on.
Yeah, like the one that got stuck in the ceiling, the shark. Like,
okay, you guys are pulling a Mike Fuda. I don't know what we're talking about.
I don't know
what we're talking about right now.
Sports. I love mascot stuff. So.
Okay. Yeah.
I got accosted by a mascot when I was a kid.
All right. Tell us about Ovechkin and what he said.
He said that him and Sid saved the NHL.
Saved the NHL.
Yeah. Okay. Like, was it a...
Here, I can give you a quote.
Yeah, give us the...
It was from an article in The Athletic that was written about... I'm just pulling it up here as I go to here. Give me 1 second. Give me some Jeopardy music. Thank you very much. In speaking with Rob Rossi, we saved the league. Now they come in and I guess we're old news. But we saved it. It's up to those guys to come in and prove me wrong that we're not the best. We saved the NHL. That's what Alex Ovechkin said about him and said.
Whoa.
Love it.
Like, I'd like to know the context and tone and, like, is...
Yeah. I don't know about save. The league's been around a long time, and it would have just been fine if he never existed. I don't know. I don't want to sound like... But it would have been fine. They would have found a way to move forward.
Yeah.
But in saying that, there's no question that when you came out of that lockout, that particular lockout, and then you felt like you needed to give the fans a different look, and that's why we went into the restructure of the holding ups, the hooking,
no
the touching and grabbing, the introduction of... the 3-on-3, or not the 3-on-3, the overtime.
Yeah.
At 4-on-4? Is that the way it started?
I can't even remember now.
When we came out of the lockout,
it started
4-on-4.
It started 4-on-4, and then it worked its way down to 3-on-3.
Yeah, and I think in 2015.
Leaned heavily on Ovechkin and Crosby. There's no question about that.
But the argument isn't, did Ovi and Crosby help the game?
Yeah. Would it have folded without them? That's the question I'm asking
you. When you lower the overall talent level, whoever the next highest people were, like Malkin would have been Ovi in terms
Malkin
of celebrity.
So good.
Yes. You know, whatever.
He's not top 100, though.
But that's quite the thing to say, even if it's true.
It does feel like if that's the case, if we can just take it for face value as how it reads to us today,
it does
sound like he's not very happy.
Well, and it also sounds like he thinks he's still as good as Jack Hughes and the other elite players in the NHL. Like, Ovi now is not one of the 10 best players in the NHL, and it sounds like he still thinks he is, which...
Of course he thinks he is.
Yeah, I understand elite athletes have to think that way, but...
I think, I'm interested to watch Washington move forward here because... For the first 20 games, they've actually put themselves in a position to make the playoffs.
Yes, for sure. We talked about the hole that the Oilers have dug.
But
both Vancouver and Washington
if
are.
Ovi now, let's just say he may have lost a step and he is now in that 25 or 30 goal window. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly a guy that can still play all 2 minutes of a power play anymore.
I bet he does.
Whether
he can or should is not the question.
Yeah, that's moving forward. If you're a rookie coach like Carberry, do you have to go to Ovi and say, Ovi, I need you to come off after a minute and 10?
You're going to come off the bench. You're the sixth man now. I don't think, that's a tough combo.
But we've got Washington and Edmonton tomorrow night.
Yes.
So we'll see how that plays out.
Boy, the Oil need one.
We had a ton of guests today, Sammy.
Yeah, I know.
Busy night in the NHL, Sammy?
Yeah, locked and loaded with zero.
Zero games.
Leafs 2 p.m. tomorrow, though.
All right. Our thanks to Luke Gazdick.
Mm-hmm.
Our thanks to Mike Fuda and Darren Pang on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Enjoy the rest of your night, NHL-less. But we're back tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.